The topic for today, that may go on Why Your Torah If It Saves, but we don't think it will because it normally doesn't. I think it's Why Your Torah Doesn't. They're like, oh, it's Shir Nana. We want to, first of all, dedicate the Shir for L'Zecha Nishmas, Rabbi Berg, Harav Moshe Yitzchak Ben Shlomo, who unfortunately, Rabbi Melvin Berg, who lost, he was just as a wonderful person, very dedicated to our yeshiva, as Rav Kualwasser pointed out, always was here for Yom HaTzmut, always sponsored. I was one of the people who, back in the day, would make sure there were enough cans. He was very into, everybody got a can of soda. It's a big deal. Kids would come from all communities with a free can, and I would get him a Diet Coke, because he liked Diet Coke. Rav Jake's, of course, a father-in-law, it's a big, big loss for us. It's a very, very, for me, right before Yontif, his son, Rabbi Steve Berg, who was the head of Eshet Torah. So someone told me a story that his father had just retired from his shul, and this was the last, it was going to be the last time that Steve Berg ever blew shofar in the shul, because that was it. He was moving on. His parents were making aliyah. And he said it was so meragesh. I am the blow shofar as well. He says to blow shofar in the same place for years and years, probably 30 years, something like that, whatever, 20-something years. He said that this is the last time, and mamash was the last time. Very, very sad. Baruch Hashem, he was able to be with a good number of family members and as well spoke to every single grandchild before Yontif. But he was a wonderful, amazing person who really kept stuck to his guns, as they say. Even though Brooklyn, you know, has changing faces, he kept to what he believed in. Was just an unbelievable person and a great Zionist. So it's neshama should have an aliyah, and the family should have Mrs. Berg, if I could call her Rebbeson Berg, Pearl Berg, Rabbi Steven Berg's family, is Daniel Berg from the Five Towns, and of course Barbara and Rav Jake, and the whole family should only know nechama. So I think the topic is an integral topic. The topic is so important because it's one of the avodas that, excuse me for talking to myself for a moment, that we tend to ignore during this time. We spend a lot of time on the tshuva part. That's great. And we think about tshuva with Hashem. Ben Adam L'Chaveiro is equally, if not more, important. And then we find ourselves, next week, Erev Yom Kippur, shoot, I got a lot of people I got to ask for mechila to. And if you're Shana Aleph, which you're not, you play the game of, you go up to people, right before midnight, you mochame? Yeah, okay, good, yeah. Okay, mochame? We play that game. The question is, the avodah should start now, but then there's a lot of questions around this mechila thing. So let me give you an example, which is, it's hard to believe this is a true example, but this is a true example. I don't know if you remember from last year. Every Yom Kippur, right after Kol Nidre, Rav Boaz gets up, and he speaks about the Rambam that we'll quote in a moment, that tells us that Aver Shebein Adam L'Chaveiro is not Mechaper on Yom Kippur. There's no Kapora for Aver Shebein Adam L'Chaveiro and Achi Paseinu Et Chaveiro, until you make good on the bad that you have done. And he says, we are at Sibor right now, and we're going to be spending the next 25 hours together, and God darn it, if there's one person here who is fighting with another person, it doesn't work well at the Sibor. Therefore, I'm going to give 10 minutes now, 15, 20 minutes. Everybody, and last year's Corona, so I don't know if you were able to do this, everybody hug each other, right? That's good. One good thing about Corona. Everybody hug each other. Couldn't hug anybody. Everybody hug each other. And those have to ask for mechila, kapara, so on and so forth. So back in the day, it's hard for you guys to believe this, but I used to sit in the mokum right next to Rav Boaz, where Rav Sitchin sits. So I was there, and you get all the people going up to Rav Boaz, and a few guys, would come up to me. And a guy comes up to me, clearly not a Shana Aleph guy, Shana Bet guy, and he says to me, I want to ask you for mechila. So it's the usual thing. I give him a nice, don't worry about it. He goes, no, Rebbe. And he pulls back for a second. He goes, I really have to ask you for mechila. I said some really bad things about you behind your back, and I feel really bad about it, and I need mechila and kapara. So I am unfortunately not mature, and I can tell you the entire Yom Kippur was thinking about, what could he have said about me? What would he have said? I can't, right? And I granted him full mechila. The question is, was it appropriate for him to do that? Now, you could argue he was doing it to a big rabbi who was always going to accept kapara, but if righting the wrong is going to make the situation worse, do we have to do that? A bunch of friends get together, and so-and-so is late. So this is late. There's a good opportunity to make fun of him. So they're making fun, and then he shows up, and he's like, well, what are you guys talking about? Nothing. Do you have to go to him on Erev Yom Kippur and tell him, Not only do we make fun of you, here's what we said about you. Does that make any sense? Furthermore, I will ask, I don't understand something. The great rabbis that sit in the front row, right, that whole section, they're not as firm as I am, you know? Oh, they are firmer, right? But I know, you know, I say tefillah zaka. And I know they must be firmer than I am, actually. And in tefillah zaka, what does it say? I'm a chaper, kol aveiros. Anybody that did anything to me, even if I don't know about it, I'm a chaper. In fact, they go to sleep every night and they say, Ribbono Shelom, I want you to forgive me, but by first, I'm going to forgive everybody else, and then you have to forgive me. It's the essence of tshuva, and any good person, because Kriya Shema at night, this is what they said. So what do I need? What's this game here I'm playing here? Yeah?
What does it mean to, like, I mean, like, that's coming up. It could be a big question, but, like, when you say, like, to actually forgive someone, like, when we say, like, that thing, like, before Shema, like, Shalom, forgive them, people, like, Yom Kippur ends, there are still people in the past who, like, let's say we've lost touch with, who we still hold grudges against, but that doesn't necessarily mean that, like, so I could say I forgave them, but if someone were to come up to me, like, right now and say, would you say that, like, you like that person, like, and someone could say no. So, but does that, like, but I don't want them to be punished either, that I just happen to not like them, because, like, they wronged me, let's say. So, like, why does that, like, what does it mean, like, when it means to forgive someone, like, can I forgive the act without, like, you know, still holding a grudge for the
thing? So you're asking a fundamental question. The fundamental question is, do I have to like everybody? And if you don't mind, just so I can be politically correct, let's just talk about Jews for a moment. Because maybe we all have a separate set of rules. So we know that sin is allowed, certainly for people who are wrong. You're allowed to have sinna for someone who's off the derech, who is not following the ways. And sometimes that sinna, under certain circumstances, would be allowed even to come out. If a person's a Rasha, and you under, again, if you're under the you're the right person to do it, it may be mutter for you. But in general, we know that this is a horrible need to have, to hate anybody. And we often, unfortunately, set the same standards that we have for ourselves for other people, right? And therefore, everybody had to be brought up the same way I was, right? And should I be sensitive to the fact, let's say, I had boys over for Rosh Hashanah? This is not true. I did, but this is not really what happened. And they didn't bring anything over. No gift, no nothing. You know how hard it is for my wife to make all the food? Literally, she was 5 o'clock, she was still cooking. Chutzpah. So I could look at it and say, no. Now, talk about having a grudge on the person.
Yeah.
I might say to myself, I'm never going to invite that kid anymore. There's no midos.
Sure.
Or I could argue, or I could say, what's appropriate here is to say he wasn't brought up like I was brought up. It's not his fault. He was brought up in a certain family that's it's not done. They don't bring gifts. They have servants. They have this, that. But at the core of your question is that you're correct. There's two aspects here, which I think so. We'll see even further to this. In any, and this is very related to tshuva, but in any avera, this Rav Asher Weiss has this beautiful piece, which I read with my kids yesterday, between the Chamayrev. But in essence, it's really Rav Soloveitchik's teachings, although Rav Asher Weiss doesn't quote it. And he says it's the aspect of kapara and tahara. Right? A person could have tahara. Rav Aaron Soloveitchik calls it shame rasha mufka alav. Right? The famous question that's asked, this is like the something people love to quote during this time of the year, is the Gemara in Kedushin. The Gemara tells us, very strange because we're not used to this, but there used to be a time where you would be going out with your girlfriend and you want to marry her. So you get two witnesses and you say, Hariyah Mikudeshitli im 8 zu, to figure out now, did she have a pruta? Is it his? And so on and so forth. Yishkoyah. Now, what if he says, Hariyah Mikudeshitli almanah sheni tzadik? He's not a tzadik. This guy's not a tzaddik by the farthest stretch of the imagination. And she says, You changed. I'm so happy. You're not the guy in Shana Aleph. You're changed. You're not in Russia anymore. If he says that, that must mean he's a tzaddik. It says, Safek Kedusha. Now, the Lashon of the Rambam, if I'm not mistaken, the Lashon of the Gemara, is that, Efilu Fuaya Russia Gomor. So my son, Yaakov, Hashem should protect him. I'm saying that specifically, unfortunately, because his world just got turned upside down. He's supposed to come home for Shabbos and Sukkot, and now they told him nobody allowed out of the army. His division is the one that's looking for these terrorists. Yimach Shemom, they should find them. And life should end very, very quickly. It's causing quite bedlam in Israel, those that don't realize. But there are six people who escaped prison. They can't find them. So my son's in Kfir, and this is what Kfir does. They go in Yehudim Shomer. So Hashem should protect all the soldiers, but specifically those that are in harm's way. So my son said, maybe you read it like this. Afilu Rasha Gomer is the worst of the worst. What are we afraid of? Why is it Safek Kedushin? Shema Yahaher B'tshuva. Maybe the moment he said that, maybe he actually thought those thoughts. I believe yesterday when we were davening, we actually had good thoughts. We might have moved back to that this morning. We might have come just as late to davening this morning. But Yahaher B'tshuva. So Rav Usher Weiss calls this Tahara. What does it mean? In my lathe, right? Because his problem is that the Rambam says you have to do vidui. There's no such thing, right? The Rambam's Hilchos Tshuva is very scary to us, right? Rav Soloveitchik spoke a lot about the Rambam's Tshuva. Rav Kook was much more Baruch Hashem. You know, he was like, okay, you can try, you can do a little bit, it's okay, right? I told my kids a famous story yesterday. You'll love this. This is a great story. It's hard to believe it's true, but I read it. I heard the person say it. Bill Clinton, one of the infamous presidents of the United States, he was accused, impeached, he was accused of tremendous wrongdoing, specifically with a Jewish woman, not for now. And after this whole thing came out, and that I think it was Friday, the next week he decided he wanted to have a prayer breakfast. It was a very good photo op for him. Look, he's doing tshuva, you know, like he's having all these things. So he invited one rabbi, who happens not to be an Orthodox rabbi, and the rabbi was wondering whether or not he should go. He was thinking to himself that if I go to this event, it's going to be a photo op. It's almost like I'm giving a stamp that's all you need to do. You can do the worst things in the world, but, you know, meet with some religious leaders in Yishkayach. He doesn't know. But then he said, maybe it's an opportunity for me to tell him what Judaism believes about what he did. So he decides to go. And everybody gets a few minutes with the president. Allowed to talk to him. So he's going back and forth. What should he say? How harsh should he be? You know, should he, you know, pretend like he's in you know, Slobodka and like give it to him? You know what? So he gets up to him and he doesn't say a word. He shakes his hand. He said, "Rabbi, thank you so much for coming. Rabbi, this is 100% true. I need to do tshuva." So the word's tshuva. I need to do tshuva. President of the United States. He said, "Okay." He says, "Well, the first step is to say that you need to do tshuva." He says, "You're ready on the path." So on so forth. He goes, "You're talking about Rav Kook's tshuva," he said. "Do I have to do Rabbi Soloveitchik's tshuva?" This is the president of the United States. Bill Clinton, look it up. It's true. So afterwards, Rabbi Ganak, who's the head of the OU.
He's not Jewish, Bill Clinton.
Not like, no, not even close. And most Orthodox people probably don't even know the machlokes between Rav Kook and... So I think Rabbi Ganak said that he had written him a bunch of letters. He wrote a book on this, on the letters that he wrote to president. And he said he spoke to him about this idea of Rav Kook's tshuva. But maybe there's no real machlokes over here. There is a but the essence is there are two types, and this answers your question. Maybe there's a kapara that's the big tshuva. That you have not reached. And that maybe on Yom Kippur, I don't even have to go to that level. But I need tahara. Lifnei Hashem titaru. And that's going to be the essence of the question of what the Gemara says, which we'll see in a moment. Right? The essence of the question of... Is it really possible that the Averish of Ben Adam L'Chavero, if I don't do those, I don't have Ben Adam L'Makom? So let's see for a moment. The Shulchan Aruch writes, I'm skipping now because the first two is more business related.
So we're by number four?
We'll start with number four. Averish of Ben Adam L'Chavero, Ein Yom Kippur Mechapers, Ad Sheyufasenu. Yom Kippur, your Averish of Ben Adam L'Chavero, until you appease the person. Afilo, Loheng Nikto Bedlo Elabedavarim. You didn't beat him up or something. You didn't hit him. You said words. Sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never hurt me. There's nothing farther from the truth, ever. I would say most people in high school, when they're bullied, would rather get punched in the face than get made fun of all the time. At least that's my case. Anyway, right? You have to go up to him. Vim einu mit pious birishona. This is a whole set of halachas. Yachser pam shenis. Pam shlishis. That's why the onion goes, yemochemi, yemochemi, yemochemi. That's not halachically correct. But you would have to go up to him three times. You're done, my friend. And then it says you even have to go, which is going to be another question I have, to the grave. You have to ask for mechila. You finally decide, you finally become a big man. It's Erev Yom Kippur, so I'm going to make the call. And you call and the wife picks up. She says, I want to speak to your husband. She says, it's going to be very difficult. She says, why? He's in the shower? No. Where is he? 6 feet under, that's where he is. You missed your opportunity. She says, you know, you didn't miss the opportunity. Bring a minion to the grave. So you have to understand what's happening here. He's appeased him? What has he done? Why is this necessary? Right? And that's the second halacha. The imes asher chato lo. Mivia yud b'nei adam. Umaamidim al kivro v'yomer chatasi l'elokei Yisrael. Uploy nizeh. Shechatasi v'noag levakesh mechila be'erev yom kapira midarche diyom. So I have one question first. Why, and I want you to answer this question. Why is this halachas brought in Hilchos Yom Kippur? Why am I being told dafka on Erev Yom Kippur that I should do this? Why is it not halacha of every year? Why isn't the first halacha of the Shulchan Aruch Shivisa Hashem Kenegdi Tamid? Why doesn't it teach us also that I have to do this? What does this have to do with Yom Kippur? Don't give me the simplest answer, which is because it's Yom Kippur, like it's Erev Yom Kippur. That's why, because I got to work things out. No, something else. Anybody can figure it out. What's unique? What's special about Erev Yom Kippur?
It's when it's on our minds.
More? True. It's on our minds. Yeah.
We want Hashem to show a similar trait that all of Klal Yisrael is going to be shown.
100%, but why shouldn't that be the entire year? What's unique about Erev Yom Kippur? So it's October 12th. You did something bad, and you go up to the person, and you tell him the whole story. Why is it going to be much more difficult for him to forgive you than it is on Erev Yom Kippur? Same conversation.
Doesn't have judgment day coming the next day.
Yeah. I know it sounds strange, but on Erev Yom Kippur, everybody's in a very, very different mood. Usually, maybe a fearful mood, but a happy, fearful mood. It's a weird day, obviously. It's our favorite mitzvah day. Eating, mitzvah to eat, yeah. We have a mitzvah to eat all day. They say Rav Chaim Soloveitchik used to have candies, a whole thing of candies, and he kept putting candies in his mouth all day. This is the greatest mitzvah to do. Just keep eating. It's great. I'm machmir in this. I do it the whole year so I don't forget it every year. So, except for today. So, what's the shaila? What's the tshuva, I should say? Yeah. Look at the Mishnah Berurah, source number 5, the Chafetz Chaim says, V'afal pi kishakam bishar yumos hashanah mechayiv lepayis l'misha pasha kenegdo mikol makam ein panoi hu mamtin. Doesn't mean you shouldn't do it. You should do it the whole year. But if you didn't do it, wait till Erev Yom Kippur. Mechuyav l'takein zeh. Kedei l'tar mikol avoy nosov. Dechsev. Ki biyom azer yechaper lechem yichol chat azecham. So clearly we're talking about, Rav Asher Weiss, he didn't say this, but I think that's the chiddush would say. It's tahara. I don't necessarily need kapara. I need kapara, but I need tahara first. I can't come in front of the Baruch Shalom without tahara. V'yem yesh l'chaver biyado mamon. You have to return it v'chul.
So how would you describe the tahara? So it's like, simply put, like, is it like, a recognition, in a sense, that like I did something wrong, and we both acknowledge it, and I'm like, so, but like again, the person who you might have wronged, they might have, you know, I might have said sorry to them, or someone might have said sorry to me. Yeah, I'll say, I forgive that. I don't want anything bad to happen to this person, but I personally, I just like, you know, I might not like them. So that's tahara. Is that like a example?
I'm going to ask you to give me 5 minutes, and I'm going to give you an answer that I hope you remember for the rest of your life. When I heard it, so originally I heard this for the first time in the greatest place to ever work, in IDT. I worked in IDT, and I was working for Net2Phone at the time, which was a subsidiary, and the company was doing quite well for itself. So we had a lot of fun things. First of all, they built a base medrash. We can go learn whenever we wanted. And I would say at least once a month, if not more frequently, we had great guest speakers come. The greatest gedolim of America came. Why? And Eretz Yisrael, by the way. Because it was a great place to ask for money. Everybody had money there. Not me, but, you know, the big people. And then during Aseres Yemei Tshuva, they had a day, a Yom Iyun, which actually they got in trouble with. They did it for 3 years, and then the Goyim were like, hi, we don't have a Yom Iyun for, like, why are they allowed to take off a half a day? And you had huge speech. Rabbi Fran came every year. Rabbi Zweig, I remember, came every year. It was awesome. Some of the greatest, Rabbi Matzial Salman. It was crazy. And the CEO of IDT, Howie Bolter, Chaim Bolter, he was a great Talmud Chacham. He gave the opening shiur. And he spoke out what I'm about to say now, trying to explain the Gemara. And I think with this answer, it's an awesome answer. The Gemara says in source number 3, if you don't know this Gemara, like, you can't be in Levi Torah, right? Dorosh Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, Mikochat the same l'fnei Hashem titaru, Aver Shebein Adam l'makom, Yom Kippur Mechaper, Aver Shebein Adam l'chavero, En Yom Kippur Mechaper. Ad Sheyirtza es chavero. Just kind of what we learned, right? Yom Kippur is for Ben Adam l'makom, right? Maybe even a person could just be a person. And maybe there's a little higher level. He recognized, my son was telling me how wonderful it is. One of the great things about being in the army is that this great kirov, even when I call like silent kirov, just acting like a, so his commander is shocked like to see that, you know, frum people are not like unorthodox, you know, like seriously. And he started to learn different things. And he happens to be Ashkenaz. So Svaridim, we know, are generally, they're very Mesorati. So he's Ashkenaz, and he says, you know, I have a bunch of friends on Yom Kippur that nobody, this is crazy, he's like a Tel Aviv type of Jew, says nobody ever goes publicly, nobody would ever eat on Yom Kippur, that's crazy. It's a very, very popular day in Tel Aviv. All the roads are closed. They go on the highway, what's it called? Ayalon? Highway, and bike. They go bike riding. You can say whatever you want about it. It's still Meragesh. Still Meragesh. That they realize that this is a special day. They hold, many Svaridim hold that bicycle riding is okay. And a lot of them fast. Very high percentage of fast. But he's Ashkenaz, and he says, I would never. My friends, they go to a secret like kfar to get away from everyone. And just to show how they hate Yom Kippur, they barbecue, and they barbecue pig. Just to show. He goes, I would never do that. That's crazy. He goes, I sit at home and play Monopoly with my family. I know this doesn't sound, to me, it's so miragesh. So that, I think, is a level of kapara, of saying, I recognize the day. I'm not there yet. I'm a Tino Chinish, but I was never taught the appropriate way. Right? Like those people who just fast the whole day, they're not really sure what's going on. There's something there. But then comes along Rabbi Akiva, and now we have to understand why Rabbi Akiva is coming along. Is he commenting on this Gemara? Is he adding to the Gemara? What is he doing? Famous song. Here's the lick. I'm a Rabbi Akiva, Ashreichem Yisrael, Lifnei mi atem etarem, mi metareschem, Avichem Shabashamayim, Avichem Shabashamayim, Avichem Shabashamayim. Right, Shenemar, Vizarakti aleim mayim tohoirim v'toir v'asram, b'yir b'yob mikveh azir Shashem. Ma mikveh metares atzameim, af HaKadosh Baruch HaMetahir, es Yisrael. What's Rabbi Akiva coming over to say? We just had a statement of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah that tells us that Yom Kippur is an awesome day, except for Ben Adam L'Chaveiro. It's not going to be helped here. And then Rabbi Akiva says, it's getting a little strict here. Let's calm down. You know, we always think Rabbi Akiva was the Hasidish one, right? Because he always got a Hasidish view on everything. It was before Hasidus, right? He's up on Har Habayis and he says, you know, Akiva Nechamtanu, he says, Shulim Hoichim Bo'Val, he's laughing. He says, don't go so crazy. He says, you know who's Mataras? Avichim Shabashamayim. God throws upon us the mikvah. What? That's so great. What is this talking about? So turn the side over and see this unbelievable perish. There's a sefer called the Ein Yaakov, which I think I actually have in the back of the base medrash, which was like been a forgotten sefer. Ein Yaakov was back in the day when people didn't really learn Gemara so much. Between Mincha Ma'ariv, it was always with the rabbi, it was Dairish, right? To get people to learn. A lot of people weren't able to learn the whole day. They were working the fields, whatever. Between Mincha Ma'ariv, the rabbi said something. So some shuls, they said Mishnayos, and some, they would to open the sefer called the Ein Yaakov. The Ein Yaakov is a sefer of only Agadah stories. It's a cool sefer. There's a perish, this is an Agadah section, obviously. So there's a perish on it called the Riff on the Ein Yaakov. And he says like this, not our Riff. She Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah ba'la hosif al divrei atanakama shelim lo Pies es chaveiro, gamaveiro sheben adam lamakom, ein yom kippur machaper. It's a chiddush nufla moed, it's crazy. I'll read it again. Rabbi Elazar Azariah is adding, and he's saying the following thing. Not only do you have to appease your friend, but if you don't appease your friend, your kapara that you did, your tshuva you did with you and Hashem, is worthless to God. Howie Bolter called that zero-sum game. Meaning, zero, nothing. You've done nothing. You've done no tshuva. Tshuva comes with both of these aspects. Why? Because the pasuk says, "Lifnei Hashem titaru." If you haven't come to Hashem, lifnei Hashem titaru, you've done nothing.
Forgive or say sorry.
Oh, so it seems to be that we're talking about, back to what you're saying, tahara. That I can forgive somebody and still have negiyus, still not be completely sane with him. It's a high level. To forgive somebody is still a high level when you don't want to forgive him. Come on. He says, ain't tahara tok tuli abaka. The two separate things. He says, no. My relationship with God and my relationship with man is not the same. It's not the same. It's not fair. Hey, they're two sides of the Tzeres Hadibros. So I could have a half a tshuva. Now, this is the scariest statement ever if we believe the same Yaakov. Why? This riff. I'll tell you why. I think it's Rabbi Yeshua Pinto who wrote the riff. So it's scary for the following reason. Because if you have memories like I have, right? I don't remember what I had for breakfast. Oh, not breakfast. No, I don't remember. I can't remember anything, right? My wife just said something to me. She's like, I was upstairs and she says, hey, can you do me a favor? Can you do something downstairs? I'm like, sure. She came downstairs. She did it? I'm like, did you ask me to do it? She's like, yeah, I was upset. I'm like, oh, bad memory. I'm going to remember 365 days ago, 340 days ago, 200 days ago, 3 days ago? Who we spoke out against? Famously, the Chafetz Chaim tells us we should write down every day. Can you imagine the book you would have if you wrote down every day who you wronged today? Maybe that you would remember. Some of us don't even remember that. And now, Rahman al-Islam with social media, one statement is terrible, can damage. Is Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah really telling us that if I don't shape up, I'm in a lot of trouble here? And I can't remember everyone? So let's look at this for a second. There's got to be something bigger here going on. There's got to be something in my tahara process that I'm looking at that it's so important that I do this before Yom Kippur. And I apologize, but I'm going to skip because I want to give you the end because it's so essential. And I think this is a great chiddush that Rabbi Howie Walter said. It's not his chiddush. He quoted the Gra here in source number 10. The Gra says, the Medrash Tanchuma, Nihim halach l'ratzot, v'lo kibel alav, ma'yase amar Rabbi, he says, what do you do? Shata merachim al chaveiro, yesh lecha merachim, v'im eincha merachim, eim chaver merachim. Look at the last part. V'akalash baruch hu, Roya, God sees, right? You go to the person says to you, get out of my face! Are you chutzpah? What are you doing here? Rav Aaron Soloveitchik told this crazy story. This story makes it remarkable. That his father told, that his father, Rav Moshe, the son of course of Rav Chaim was the Rav of Brisk. He sat on the Beis Din. Rav Simcha Zelig was the Av Beis Din. And there was a crazy case once. There was a case, this is a lot of very good mussar, this case. There was a case of two people who, a butcher and somebody else, had a sichsuch against each other. They didn't agree with each other on something, right? They didn't agree. So, Rav Chaim Simcha Zelig, I don't know who the third dayan was, they passed in the case. And they don't rule for the butcher. The butcher is shocked. And he gets up. He's a chutzpah. How do you not rule for me? It's so obvious. It's black and white. I get the money. You know? And he starts going crazy on them. He's cursing them out. The Beis Din. Rav Chaim gets so upset. He stands up. And he goes, m'chutzah. And he physically takes them out of the Beis Din. Okay? On Erev Yom Kippur, he takes his sons, Rav Moshe, of Soloveitchik, or Yosef Dov Soloveitchik's father, of Aaron's father, Shmuel's father, the famous Brisker Rav, and another, a little bit less famous, as if there's like a mock basin. And they walk into the shul. He's the head of all the shuls. And he knows the butcher davens in. And it's called nitrates. Everybody's got their talus over the head. And he goes to the guy, takes his talus off. No, it's not you. So he finally finds the butcher. And he says, I think I was a little rough with you. I know you cursed us out and everything, but I called you a mechutz. It was embarrassing. And I pulled you out of the basin. The voice said, Kol Nidre. The butcher said, get out of my face. What are you doing here? Get out of here. Chutzpah, get out of here. The Rav of Brisk. Rav Aaron says that he did not last until Motzi Yom Kippur. He died. He said the entire year Rav Chaim said Kaddish for him because he felt bad. Why? What's going on over here?
Butcher died?
Yeah. What's going on over here? Look at the Gemara in source number 8, and then we'll go back to the Grah. The Gemara tells a story about Rav Havile Milsa Bahadre Hahu Tavcha. He had an argument with a butcher. Another story. So he decides the Mile Yoyme to Kippure. An Erev Yom Kippur, he's going to go Ezel Anil Paisole. He's going to come up and go make it easier for him. He's going to go up to the butcher, his store, and say, you cursed me out. And say, Yom Kippur, he said, everybody's in a good mood. Okay, I'll do it. Pagabe Rav Huna meets him on the way, and he says to Rav, Amr Le, where are you going? Lecha al Zilmar, where are you going? He says, Amr Le, the Paisa Ploni. I'm letting him forgive me. He says, Amr Azul Abba Lemiktel Nafshe, why do you want to kill him? Strange. Let's continue. Azul Vakamu Levin, he goes, he went, and he gets there, and he walks into the store. It's a very busy store, you know. Erev Yom Kippur, everybody's getting their food for the before you fast. What are you doing here? Get out of my store. Are you crazy? He says, I came here. No. He turns around the butcher. He starts cutting the meat. And as he cuts a piece of meat, the bone of the piece of meat goes up into his neck. Boom, dead. Rav Huna was right. He died. Rabbi, same question I have. Why did he go up to him? These great rabbis, Rav Chaim and Rav, why didn't they just say, Nu shkayach, I forgive you wholeheartedly. I say it every night in Kriya Shema. I'm definitely going to say it to Zaka, and even more so because it bothers me. What was the point of this? He killed him. Says the Gra, source number 10, V'akadosh Baruch Hu Roi Shehishpil Asma Rachim. When the person doesn't do it, you've done your job. You know what you did? Hishpil et Asma. You degraded yourself. I think that's the key over here. That's what we need to do. I need to feel like you felt when I made fun of you. I need to feel like you felt. That's the yesod ha-yesodus of Tshuva ben Adam
l'Chaver. But they killed them. So like, how did they make
So that's a little much. Right? I don't have a good answer for that. That they know they were doing that. Rav Huna said he was doing that. Rav Chaim obviously did not think that was going to happen. But the idea was, I knew that in order to get to Kapara, it wasn't enough for the person to say, I'm moichel you, in my mind every night. I need to do something. And that's maybe why, maybe, they don't actually have to go through the entire process of maybe saying it. I have to say something that makes me feel bad, even if you don't know what's going on. Maybe I don't have to tell you exactly what I did, but I actually feel bad. I don't go up to you and say, you're moichel me. I don't feel bad about that. And that would become the famous question nowadays of everyone who goes on social media, Facebook and Instagram and Tinder, and they go on and they write all these things. You know, for those of you that always have to be politically correct, for those of you who are celebrating Yom Kippur, you know, like I want to be politically correct, not to offend anybody, I want to ask for complete forgiveness for anything I might have done, I might have said so and so forth. Is that worth anything? I send out an email. I have a friend who sends out an email every year. Long-winded email. It goes to everyone. I'm not an idiot. It's BCC. Everybody gets it. And he asked for mechil and kapar. Is that good enough? I don't think so. I think the Gra would say no. I'm not hishpil at datzmo. I just sent the email to 180 people. It's not good enough. I send you a voice note? Maybe. I'm not there yet. I can't come to your house.
Is it good enough for the aspect of like you said Tahara?
That's what I think is going on over here. Yeah. That's No. Because I think that the Yisod, I don't think it's complete kapara.
Tahara.
It's tahara, though. But I don't think that tahara is enough for me to say you mochim. I don't feel anything by saying it. It's not a game. It's not a checklist.
Not necessarily that the person comes up to you and say you mochim, but when you're doing when you're like in Yom Kippur and you're praying to Hashem, you don't. I don't want to feel like I have someone's death on my hands because I didn't forgive them. I can choose, like I was saying, well, like I can choose just to like have that, I guess, grudge against them.
Right. Right. The question is like this. The question is, now Yom Kippur comes, and boom, Rav Boaz made that speech. And I'm like, oh my God, I totally forgot about Ploni. Ploni went to Lev HaTorah last year. He's not fortunate like you are. He's not in your situation. He's not here. He's sitting in whatever, Milwaukee or whatever. He's in the University of Alabama. So what are you going to tell me? It's mutter for me to pick up the phone and call him? No, I can't. So it could be like you're saying, Hishpil Tatzmo to the Rabbeinu Shel. Say, God, I feel horrible about this. I can't believe it. I think there is some tahara there. You're correct. I think so. It's not what the Gemara is saying, but I think it's true. Let me just quote you a few different things. The Eli Rabba, as well as the Birkei Yosef, agrees and says, "Misha Einu Mevir Sina B'Yom Kippurim." Whoever doesn't eradicate hate he has for somebody else, Hatzfilos Einu Nishmet. His tefillos are not nishmat; they're not listened to. The Sfas Emes says. Even Kas, that's for a reason. I'm mad because you really did hurt me. Take it away from you. Why? Because we are supposed to be, Rav Soloveitchik's famous, in Tatmadeya. We're going to say a gazillion times, Hashem, Hashem, Gerav, Mechan, El Chapayim, Mechesav, Yemes. What am I basically saying to God? I'm not pretending like I'm perfect. I'm telling you to overlook. Would you? So God says, well, do you overlook when somebody else did something bad to you? No, it's not the same thing. That's a human being. What was so bad about the story I told you about Rav Chaim? I forgot to tell you the most important part. After Rav Chaim went out and called him a chutzuf and dragged him out, he came back and Rav Simcha Zelig, the Av Basin, was crying. Rav Chaim didn't like. Briskers don't like cries. They don't like seeing zmiras and like crying. I would imagine that their Rosh Hashanah davening wouldn't get out at 1:30, like you guys. He says, what are you crying about? He says, you don't remember who that guy is. The guy was here a month ago. He brought in a huge cow. And he said, I just did shechita on the cow. I think there's a problem. And he said, you remember we were investigating and looking at the cow and we saw the problem? And we were saying at Nebuch, this guy's going to lose thousands and thousands of whatever, zlotis. It's a treif, the animal's treif. And they went and they said, I'm sorry, but it's treif. And the butcher, you know what he said? Kach gozer HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's from God. That was thousands of lati. This was a few pennies. I don't understand. Rav Chaim's like, you don't understand? I'll tell you, 100%. When the animal wasn't kosher and he lost thousands and thousands of dollars, that was between him and God. Everybody's like, oh. But with his friend? His friend's going to take $50 from him? The principle that he couldn't stand. And that's what our problem is in essence.
So is the Harul like the thing with Rabbi Akiva? What Rabbi Akiva was saying when people are in the Gemara, when he's like, when Rabbi was kind of like calmed down a bit, like, what was he saying there? Like, you don't, like, essentially, like, if I don't forgive someone, like, complete, I'm not going to say
I think Rabbi Akiva is only talking about the Tahara being Adam L'Makom still exists, even if you have not wronged the right. That's what I think he's saying. He says you need this kapara. It seems that the Rif is saying that the Rabbi Lozer ben Azariah is saying I need this type of kapara, and maybe that's the full kapara, and maybe that's the difference between kapara and tahara.
Like, who do we know that goes around? I mean, the mass.
It's impossible.
Right. To everyone. Yeah.
Right. And it's not just that. I don't know who I've wronged.
Yeah.
Right. I had an incident last year. I told you guys. I would have never known if he didn't say anything to me that I offended him in class.
Well, by the way, what about that? Like, you mentioned, is it good that you should? I mean, I don't behind the story with Rav Chaim. Like, if you say something to someone right before Yom Kippur, that could distract them from the davening. Should you do it?
So let's look at the last source number 9. What I just love the source because it's from Rebbe Moyer. I've heard of this from himself. He told the following story. He said, "I heard a story from the great Rav Yitzchak Huttner, which was his Rebbe, was the Rosh Hashiva of." The Rosh Yeshiva of Rav Chaim Berlin, where Rav Aaron first taught. Kishagamar Rabbi Yisrael Meir HaKohen Miradim at Sefer Chavetz Chaim. When the Chavetz Chaim wrote his Sefer Chavetz Chaim, he went to the greatest Gadol, Rabbi Yisrael Salam, to get a Haskama. Right? That's what you do. Any good book, before you pick it up, you open it up. Does it have any escamas? You know, how about this one? I'm sure. I hope I'm not wrong. Right, you open it up. Oh, here we go. Rav Mordechai Eliyahu, Rav Dov Lior. Great. Just go ahead. Why? Because I don't know who the author is. I want to see. Oh, I know those people. It must be good. It's hard to believe. The Chafetz Chaim didn't have any, you know. Is there a Mishnah Berurah here? You'll see in the Mishnah Berurah, the beginning of the Mishnah Berurah, it also has Haskamas. So, Rav Yisrael Salat says, what do you think? I'm going to give you Haskamas, Tom. Got to stay over. I got to read the whole thing. Right? They don't do that today. Today they like pick up one or two things. Anyway. La'achar kama yomim shavah Chafetz Chaim, and he came back and he said, I agree with everything you wrote. Chutz, win one sif. He says, what was it? V'hu, shemisha diber lashon hara neged chavero, v'chavero enu yada mi lashon hara negdo, mikol makom she'osa tshuva chayev lahagid lechavero. Rav Yisrael Salant said, it can't be. It can't be that if I said something against my friend in his back, and now Rav Boaz gets up and he says, ask kapar for everybody, I'm going to go up to him and say, I know you don't know about this, but I called you a fat pig last week. And everybody was laughing. Why'd you call me that? Like, you just, now Yom Kippur Davening is the worst. And guess what? I sit next to you in Yom Kippur Davening. And the whole Yom Kippur Davening, I'm like, you know, like, what? How can it be? So Rav, it's just a good story.
So who wrote that down and who disagreed with him?
So listen, Rav Yisrael Salant, Amr L'Chavetz Chaim, Im Lo Yitzeh Asif Azeh. The Chavetz Chaim wrote it, that you have to ask for forgiveness. And this, Rav Yisrael Salant, if you don't take out the Sif, I can't give you a Haskamah. So he says to him, Rebbe, let's agree to disagree, right? We don't agree. So write in your Haskamah, this is the greatest Sefer ever. There's no Sefer ever like this that spoke about the laws of Lashon Hara, except I don't agree with this Sif. And this is great, great. He's like, oh, come on, nobody reads Haskamas. Nobody reads them. They just read the name on the top. They don't read what it actually says in it. You could write Haskamah. You don't write, this guy's the worst guy that ever lived. He should die, this and that. Goes, oh, but his name is on it. It must be very good. I quoted last week, Vayalelo Yuval Sefer, written by a student of Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach that tells stories. It's like almost he sat under the table and people came and asked questions. There are two Haskamas there from two sons of Rav Shlomo Zalman, one who just passed away, the Rav of Tveria, Rav Avram Dov. And it says, do not write this Sefer. We think this is wrong to write the Sefer because they're called P.S. Shmuz. We don't know what's right, what's wrong. We don't know what you really heard or pretended to hear.
So did he put it in?
Listen to what he wrote. The Yatzer is Chaver Yidei. So he says, so the Chavetz Chaim, he shivd hadinza. I didn't make this up. It's written in the Shari Tshuva. The Shari Tshuva writes this. Rav Yisrael Salant, I know it says it, but it's got to be wrong. Open up Chavetz Chaim, you'll see it has no Haskama. Now, some people say the story is not true because the greatest student of Rav Yisrael Salant, Rav Itzel Petelberg, and in his Sefer, he does not have a Haskama, and he writes, I didn't get a Haskama because Rishal Swan famously never get Haskamas out. I don't know if that's true, what the story is. Nonetheless. So Rav Aaron picked up on this idea, and he said, what was the Yisod of the Machlokes? Is maybe this Grah, Heshpil Asatzma. Do we have to reach a level where we say to ourselves, I'm a nobody, I'm a nothing? Can I even reach that middle ground of really feeling bad when I didn't actually tell you what I did? I know what I did, and I'm just coming up to you and saying, maybe I said something bad. You know you said something bad. There's a middle ground here. The Peloyoids. Rav Sternbach writes in his Sefer, Rav Itzel Petelberg writes, Afilu Yada, I know that publicly he forgive me already. He said, I know Hartzin said something bad about me. I forgive him. Tell Hartzin I forgive him. You still have to ask for Mechila. Kriya Shema Alamita is not enough. Shels Chus Az Midbaru, Rav Zilber writes, maybe it's good enough, Kriya Shema Alamita, but don't rely on it. The great chief rabbi of Israel, Rav Shapiro, tries to explain this Chavetz Chaim. Unfortunately, we're out of time. But Rav Dessler writes, how can it be that Rav Yisrael Salant makes so much sense? How could the Chafetz Chaim say, or really the Shari Tshuva, that I'm going to make somebody feel worse? You're going to cause him Agmas Nefesh, but Erev Yom Kippurim, like you're saying? It's a Yom of Tshuva. It doesn't make sense. It can't be. The Magen Avraham uses the same Lashon as the Gra. Im Mifaret et Achet, Mitbayesh Oto, Al Tagit. He says, if me causing myself busha is going to make the guy feel worse, I can't do that. I can't get a kapara at the expense of other people. It doesn't make sense. So Rav Sternbach writes, and therefore you can go up to the person and you know you feel bad. You know what you did and feel genuinely bad about it. Give him a hearty handshake or a hug and say, but you don't have to say what it is. Aznid Beru agrees with the Gra and says there's not Hishpil Atzmo here, I don't think. That's the essence of what we're trying to accomplish here. That's why Kriya Shema Lamita is not good enough. That's why the biggest rabbi in the world have to ask for Mechila from. It's a very, very interesting sugya. We've touched on most of it. But in the essence, I wanted to just obviously end by saying that what we're trying to accomplish, I think, is obvious. We should think of that with the relationships we have. And I have to tell you something. Some of those hardest relationships are the people that are closest to you in your life. Your parents. Who would ever ask Mechila from their parents? I should ask Mechila from my parents, right? We all have to ask Mechila from our parents. From our spouses, Amir Tashem, you should be Zaycha not to ask you where Shlomo Zalman it is at the Levaya of his wife said, this is traditionally the time that everybody asks for Mechila from their spouses. I'm not asking Mechila because I didn't do anything wrong in my entire life. He wasn't being a Baal Gaiva. It says, Kvoido Yosi Megufo, I treated my wife better than I treated myself. I have nothing to say. Or nobody, I don't know anybody on that level. We ask Mechila. I think it's appropriate. I ask Mechila for my children. It's too harsh with them. It's an essence. It's something about of who we develop, who we are as people. You know, when I gave this shiurim, we were talking about the business world. Yeah, it's true. If you want to be a successful business person, you have to have a moon in the Rabbanu Shalom. You have to believe that you've done things wrong. I've made mistakes in my life. That's okay. That's the strongest person is admits that he made mistakes. So hopefully we'll be zeicha to take these things to heart. And we should be zeicha to have a chasiva chasima toiva. And I genuinely ask you, Mechil, if there's anything I may have said that may have offended you in my shirim. It's who I am. It's the way I am. Hopefully it'll be taken in the right way, and we should all have tshuva and kapara and slicha.